for the players.
Check my email, see if I got into the Marvel Rivals banner.
Now it's probably not the time, Max. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in that games media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, with a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Happy birthday, but not birthday. Happy Mother's Day, Max, your big old mother. And also happy, I'm so conditioned that happy means happy birthday. That it's Happy Mother's Day. It's Happy Mother's Day to all them, all your mums out there. You know, shout out to your mum for me. Big old throwback.
Say hi to your mum for me.
Yeah, say hi to your mum for me. Whatever it is, I could. That was like 14 years ago.
Shout out to your mum for
me. Yeah, shout out to your mum for me. The less successful original pitch from Rove Life. yeah.
You fucking dickhead.
Yeah, checks out. How's things? How's it going?
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm sick.
Yeah, you do sound like butt.
Yeah. Got my flu shot on Friday. Woke up Saturday with a cracker of a headache and a blocked nose.
Yeah, rad.
Yeah.
The video people will see that blah, 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 noise, but the noise gate, cut it out. And then good. I did it, which negated the noise gate. It was awesome.
Probably for the best.
Good decision. So just a bit of a head cold sort of thing.
Yeah, it seems like it. I've just got a blocked nose.
Lame.
I shouldn't complain too much, but...
Yeah, like, I'm like... So...
Hashtag man flu.
Oh, yeah, I would kill for some man flu right now. So, like...
I got up this morning, and Hadley was like... The first thing out of Hadley's mouth was, can we go? And I'm like, I'm fucking sick. I'm not going anywhere. And Ali's just like, fantastic.
Like, immediately, she's like, oh... Well, she didn't realize that you were all crutchety?
No. No.
Easy to know. But yeah, because as I was saying, so like I'm keen for some sickness. I know it's a weird thing to say, but
down with the sickness.
I would love to be down with the sickness. I could do. I would do with the time off. Actually, just sleeping, that would be awesome. You know, Craig, good friend of the show, got COVID 2 weeks ago from a wrestling show. I think I mentioned this, and I didn't get it, and I didn't get shit, and I'm real mad about it. I was hoping at least get a little bit sick. You know, get some time off, have a bit of have a snooze, catch up on some games, just chill out for a couple of days. I think it would be incredible. Is that on the cards for you, or are you just going to...
No, I'm going to work. I'm going to work. Yeah, I'm just going to push through.
Yeah. It makes sense, I suppose. But
so, although, you know, because I work by myself, but if I rock up to work, like, during my day shift and my boss is like, Max, you're sick.
Yeah.
Then I'll probably have to take a day or two.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, because I used to do that in my old job as well. Like, I feel like shit, but I don't like calling in sick. So I go in and they go, you look like arsehole. I'm like, I know. And they're like, go home. I'm like, okay.
I've been permanent part-time for like 4 years and I still have that casual mindset of if I don't go to work, I don't get paid.
I've been full-time for near on a decade and I have the same problem.
Yeah.
It is, ugh. Gross. But apart from getting a bit sick, anything else happen?
No, not really. I got roped into working next Saturday.
On the weekend?
Yeah, my boss is like, they want some steam cleaning done. Have you done it before? I'm like, I haven't, but I can do it. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. And they're like, will you pick up the equipment and organize it too? And I'm like, fuck, seriously? And they're like, we'll pay you extra. And I'm like,
you had me an extra.
So I'm spending my Saturday next week working.
Do you get time? So it's just money's in your pocket. No time in lieu or nothing.
Saturday penalty rates.
Oh, okay. See, because I haven't worked like a penalty rate job in God knows how long.
Yeah, I'll get. I think it's double time on Saturdays.
Double time.
And they want me for like 8 hours.
Ooh.
So
What a shame.
I can't wait for the ATO to steal all my money.
Yeah. Dude, I am itching for the financial year because I am just paying off some gnarly tax debt from having 2 full-time jobs on paper for 2 weeks. That was brutal. And I'm really looking forward to being able to not have to pay that so much.
Yeah.
Because I've been paying that off since like October. And it's killing me. Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross. But yeah, I don't have to work a Saturday. Well, no, I do work Saturdays. I work Saturdays all the time. I do wrestling work. Did that this week too. Did my first ever ring announcing in the middle of the ring, being like, yo, introduce. I didn't say that because that'd been real weird. Introducing first. Blah, 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 blah. And here is your winner. Blah, 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 blah. It's good times. I enjoyed it.
Did you get involved?
No, I didn't know bussing. Didn't get no boost. I didn't get a bump, nothing. I did have a couple of them that are my mates did get up in my face, though, just because they could. That was fun. I enjoyed that part. But yeah, that was good. That was right. Other than that, like, not really a whole lot went down during the week. Oh, one thing I will talk about, because we always talk about our kids on here, because that's what we do. This is the part we discuss what we've been up to. So, one of the things I've been hunting for recently, and I believe I've talked about this before, is I wanted to get my kid a loft bed. I want, you know, like the bunk bed with the bed on top and then underneath like a desk or something. So it is a loft bed, but no, for some people that don't know what a loft bed is, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, I want a bed with the thing with the desk. And someone's like, a loft bed? I'm like, no, the bed with the thing and the desk. So finally got one, found one on Marketplace that I really liked, picked it up, came back here, built it. It was a absolute bitch to build, but I got it done. My son, I had him over this weekend before he went back for Mother's Day. He saw it, instantly fell in love with it. He was very happy with the bed. No IKEA. No, so there is an IKEA here in Victoria. I'm sorry, in our chat, mute has asked, really no IKEA. There is an IKEA here in Victoria, but it's on the other side of across Melbourne. And I'm like, I want the ease of option. If I want to buy this bed, on it, just simple. So I found one on Facebook Marketplace. It was much, much easier. It was literally in the same suburb that I'm in. And so I grabbed it and then came back. And it was heavenly. No, it wasn't the same suburb. There was one I looked at in my suburb. There's a little person in here. Oh, for those that can't see, we are joined by Chadley Cooper.
No.
He's too touchy. But yeah, so my son's very, very happy with his new bed. Loves it. He slept in it, you know, instantly. The cat, old Charlie, he is also a big fan of said bed, which helped my son getting accustomed to it. It's been a whole thing. It was absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. But I've also set up underneath on the desk. He's got an old TV of mine, and I've set the switch up. I finally got the dock back off you. So he has his own little like gaming nook, which he's very, very happy about. So the first question I got from him around the switch setup, what do you think James asked of me?
What the hell is this?
No. What about the Switch?
Where's the Spider-Man controller?
He goes, the first question was, can I get Cuphead for the Switch? I'm like, dude, you have it on the PlayStation at here and at your mum's. He goes, yeah, but I don't have it on the Switch. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's true. And it means he could play Cuphead while I'm playing something else. It'd be awesome.
Fair enough.
What a little dude. So, yeah. Why is little Chadley hanging out with you, as you said?
Well, I saw him sneak into the what Hadley refers to as the secret room, which is the pantry.
Yeah.
So I went and rescued him.
Because before the show we were chatting, you mentioned he's a little unwell also.
Yeah, he may have got me sick. It may have been him because he did slobber right in my mouth.
They do that. They really do that.
Did ya?
Is one of those things where like the last appearance, his name is not Chadley, but it's fun to say that. Was on the, like they were like a baby. Look at him now.
Yeah. So he had his maternal health care.
Yeah.
Measurements this week, and he's grown 10 centimeters, but has not put on any weight.
Yep.
So they're like he may struggle to sit up because he's got a big buff head. And no body weight to center mass.
Yep. And so something had something similar with my boy because he's got my honking head, and
I found him in the pantry. I could hear some rustling, and he was up to no good.
So you know how he says like he's not gaining weight, but he's getting longer. It's because you keep not letting him in the pantry.
Yeah.
Get him on them solid foods, Max. Get him just chowing on a sandwich.
He's on solid foods,
but he's not in a sandwich, is he?
God, no.
No. Yes.
He's got the problem of only having teeth on the bottom of his mouth.
That's the problem. But yeah, so my son wanted me to get Cuphead on the Switch. I'm like, aren't you fucking sick of playing Cuphead? He's like, no. I'm like, all right, cool. I am. I'm sick of Cuphead. Very much so. But thankfully...
So you bought it on the Switch, so you don't have to play it anymore?
No, because I'm at the end of my month of paid, and I'm right. If I breathe too heavily, I might go negative in my bank account. So...
monthly pay.
Oh god, monthly pay can eat dick so hard. But thankfully I didn't have to play it this weekend. What about yourself? What have you been playing, Max?
Fucking Paw Patrol World.
Still?
Still. Hadley's gotten really into it. Now that she's realised that although the helicopter can still not fly, she's now on the last level. She's in the last open world area. Mm-hmm. Bright Town, whatever the fuck town's called.
Is it the one that's like in the UK?
Yeah.
Barkingburg.
Yeah, that's it. But, so she's been playing it by herself.
Can you pivot the mic just to Smith talking at the back of it? There you go.
I kind of stopped playing it because it's not great for an adult to play. So she plays by herself. She'll go talk to Ryder, do her mission, she'll go do her things. She's
go do her dailies.
She very much doesn't like having to do anything if she doesn't get to play as Everest or Sky.
Okay.
If she's playing co-op with you, she's like, that's not a job for Everest or Sky. You can do that one. Oh, you can do that one too. Oh, it's not Everest or Sky. If I have to, I guess. But the new thing she likes doing is she likes playing hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be like, all right, Dad, you count and I'll go hide. Not hard to find her. There's a big fucking player one symbol above her head that you can see at all times on the screen. And then she cheats and teleports to you. She's like, I found you.
So you have to go find her, but she just teleports straight to you. Kids are the worst. Kids are the worst.
But she's been having a blast with that. As for me, I haven't really played much this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still playing all my card games. Hearthstone bought out a new game mode that I've fallen in love with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they've had an auto battler for ages called Battlegrounds, and this week, or it might have been earlier than this week, but I discovered it this week. They now have Battlegrounds duos where you can trade minions from your that you've purchased to your ally and vice versa. So they just double your health pool. And then it goes one after the other. So if my army loses, theirs comes in and continues the fight. So it gives you an extra chance to kind of win, even if you're doing poorly, if your teammate's doing really well, you can kind of still win the game if you work together, mm-hmm. which is cool. So I've been playing a fair bit of that. I revisited Bloodborne for a little while. Because I realized that I'd never actually got around to finishing the old Hunters DLC from way back when.
Yep.
I jumped back into Monster Hunter World to play a little bit of Iceborne. Went in and didn't want to touch my inventory because it's so immaculately set up. Because I'm a bit of a hoarder when it comes to games like that. But mainly I've just been playing that Magic Arena. I've been playing League of Legends Arena and I've been playing Battlegrounds Arena on... Anything with the word arena in it, I've just like been playing real hard.
What a schizophrenic way to like spend your week.
Oh yeah, it's been all over the place this week. I've watched an entire season of fucking Charmed. I'm almost finished. About one season left.
Oh, that's not a bad thing.
I'm just burning through.
I think we talked about this recently. Have you watched the new Charmed?
No, but Stan recommended it. It's like, you've been watching this for fucking ages. You should consider watching the new one. And I was like, no.
Give it a burl. Just a poop on it.
Maybe. And then, yeah, other than that, not much. It's just been a weird week. I haven't really wanted to do anything.
Yeah, look, though, I certainly understand that. Like, I have had access to games, of course. We you know, whether it be our backlogs or whatever. But I just constantly keep getting pulled to Fallout 76. I don't know what it is. Like, there is just something about what that game is doing that continuously gets me excited.
Have you been nuking Phil Spencer?
I have not been capable of nuking. Also, shout out to Dame Duty Dench in the chat. That name still pops me every time, Duty. So good. Yeah, so I've yet to like unleash a nuke myself, but I have been on the cusp of one. We saw one, you know, the blast zone. Like, oh, so Craig and I think we ran up right up to the edge of the blast zone. Like, we're going to see what happens. And it was awesome. It was one of the coolest shit we've ever done. It was fantastic. But I'm just having such a blast exploring Appalachia. Because we're all playing, ideally, myself, my housemate, and my mate Craig, we're all playing together. But because we're all, sometimes we play separately. Excuse me. So, like, you know, if I play, I just go adventuring. I'm like, well, I'm going to go explore the map so that when we need to, we can just fast travel to shit.
Yeah.
And as a result, by seeing new spaces, fighting peeps, like, I'm leveling up quite nicely. And I've been really, really digging it. So, like, sort of, yeah, seeing the different biome-y sort of setups that they have and, like, oh, what's over here? What's over there? And oh, there's a golf course. And I'm also in the process of trying to find a new place to set up my camp. Like, I like the camp, but where I am now is pretty centrally located. But as I'm starting to discover more places that I can fast travel to for no expense, I'm like, well, where can't I fast travel to? What's a good place? But I also want a place that's kind of like reasonably flat, so I can not be too restricted by how I want to build my place. You know, and just I'm enjoying it, going and collecting the scraps and, you know, doing my little things. I can't tell you exactly what it is. I don't really know. But it's one of those things where, like, I can tell you that I'm enjoying the game, but I can't tell you why.
Mm.
You know, it's what's an example? I think an example would also have been Division 2 and what was the name of the People Can Fly? And it was the space cover base shooter. Outriders.
Outriders.
Yeah, Outriders is in that same bracket. It's a game that I couldn't tell you why I liked it, but I really enjoyed it, and I just wanted to play it all the time. So I've absolutely been doing that, which has been a blast. But outside of that, there has been one game that I have been checking out. So, big thank you to the team over at Neon Hive that we were provided a review code for Crow Country. So, it's a game that I mentioned back in October when I played the demo. We mentioned it last week when it came out in the games that were coming out. I've had it for about a week or so, but with the nature of my week, it's not really been, you know, the best circumstance for me to play it. However, I have spent a couple of hours with it, and Max, I think you should play it too, because I think it's great.
Ready to go.
So, for those playing at home, Crow Country is a game developed by SFD Games. It's two brothers, I believe, two dudes. The game is this it's isometric-y sort of looking setup where you play as a character named Mara Forrest, and you are chasing down a gentleman by the name of Mr. Crow, the dude that owns the park, the theme park that you are in. So you go in there, you're trying to find him, get information about what's going on, and then, you know, get the hell out. But of course, chaos ensues. This game wears its, like, PS1 survival horror energy on its sleeve. It is, like, beautifully designed from a visual standpoint with its homage to those sprite-based models of Final Fantasy VII, but it is also oozing Silent Hill, Resident Evil, all that sort of energy.
Yeah.
Immediately when I log on, when I click play, and it comes up with like that sort of CRT fuzz and a little bit of a jank and all the, you know, pixelation, I'm like, oh, this is rad. I'm feeling this. And then you go around, and it is at its core like a puzzle survival game, but once again, very reminiscent of those style of games. So there's a lot of backtracking. You're going around, you see this one thing, like, oh, I don't know what I can do with that yet. So I go over here, and then you find the lever, and then you go back. That has been a lot of fun. I have not unlocked a whole lot of the park at the moment, but I am in the process of, I know the rooms that I've got puzzles in that I haven't been able to solve yet, and I'm trying to find the components to solve these puzzles. Now, I have been getting occasionally stuck here and there. I find myself wandering around in circles or searching a room, but I'm consciously not seeking like a guide or whatever. Now, granted, I was playing it before it released, but even post-release, I'm like, I want to experience this like I would have when I was a kid. And it is good and bad for that reason, because I'm like, damn it, I just want to move through this. But I want that sense of like, aha, when I suss it out. But in true old school fashion, it's tank controls when you're in an aim, when you got a weapon, which is kind of fun, interesting.
It doesn't have to be.
I don't know, only when you're aiming the gun. Every other time, not an issue.
It's, if you read the
wait, you can do guide, it?
You can have modern shooting controls.
Yes! See, that was the other thing. So, we can't share the review guide, but we did. I popped really hard because they sent through the review guide, and it's been designed like an old PS1 manual. It's awesome. It's incredible.
I'm pretty sure it said in there that in the options you can upgrade, you can change it to modern shooting controls.
Ooh. Well, that's what I like to see that. I like to hear that. That's exciting. But yeah, it's very, very cool. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It is one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, I'm trying to carve some time out for it. And then, you know, shit happens or whatever. I'm like, obviously, I want to play this weekend, have my son. And then had Mother's Day things, had wrestling yesterday during the week, had my work got in the way. I even recorded about the first half an hour or so as like a little video, but I've just been unable to edit it together and get it out. I may not even see the light of day, but it's pretty cool. Do you have any questions around it, Max?
No, because I'm keen to check it out because you mentioned that there was a demo out on Steam.
It's on everything. It's on PlayStation.
Yeah, it's on the demo's available on PlayStation 2. Cool. Yeah, so I checked it out and I'm keen to dive in. I just haven't had a chance yet.
Yeah, it's that tough part, like just trying to balance out the week. But no, and to its credit, also. Apologies on scattered brain. This is like the first show in a while that I've not had Ritalin when I've done it, and I can certainly feel the difference because I'm like pulling at the recesses of my brain going, what are the words that I want to use? I had some genuine jump scares in this game already, and a lot of it is atmospheric, but there were a couple of like, blah, and like shit just came out of nowhere, and it wasn't anything that could kill me, just kind of made a noise, scared the poop out of me. But From where I'm sitting and I look at this game and my experience with it so far, it is a perfect example of a game that had an idea, it had an ambition of what it wanted to do, see, be, say, and so far I believe it nails it. Like, you know, because as I mentioned, we talked about this previously, this first crossed our path in the back end of last year when the PR team were literally reaching out for PlayStation creators. And I was like, yeah, sure, man, why not? Well, that's exactly what we do. Let's chat. And dear God, did they nail the brief, right? Of just going, this is the kind of game we want. This is the kind of game that we're throwing back to. It's bang on. It's absolutely bang on. But we'll leave it there, obviously, because if you're excited to check it out, we'll come back to it next week. And we'll hopefully I'll have it done by then. I believe it's only about 10 or so hours. So I've put like, what, 3, 4... I think. I don't know. So it's somewhere around there. So I think I'll be able to be a lot closer to it come next week. Outside of that, I did, while I was just scrolling through the PSN this morning, just because I was bored, I noticed that there were PS5 upgrades to Cook Serve Delicious 2 and 3, games I straight up love, and I don't know how I played prior to Ritalin, because I tried to play it this afternoon, but, oh, because the big thing about this game is you essentially run a little kitchen, and then you have to quickly make these dishes while, you know, managing the dish, the side things, the whatever. It's all the balancing of all the various mechanics. And it's all done through button memory. So, you know, and if you're making a burger, you know, it's L2, triangle, circle, square, X, and each of them is a different bun, and then circle to change them. So you've just got to, like, get this almost like well, I'm trying to think of a way to explain it. You know, like, you've got to, like, hold it and button combos. It's almost like playing a guitar or a keyboard or a saxophone or something. It has this, like, intricate, you got to remember all the bits, because if you fuck it up, well, then you're done. But also, you got to get it done nice and quick. Have a lot of fun with these games, just simply because they're a good... They're, like, when I'm in the right headspace, they're a fun game to rip through. But yeah, they got PS5 upgrades out of nowhere. I was like, sweet, I don't know what the difference is, but I downloaded it anyway. So I played that for about, I don't know, 20 minutes, and I was like, yeah, I remember why I love this game, and I remember why I shouldn't play it right now, because my meds are wearing off. That's my bad idea. Outside of that, I did let myself down this week, though, Max.
Oh, yeah?
So since the game released, as I sit here wearing the shirt for it right now, WWE 2K24. I have logged in every day and done my dailies. Yesterday was the first day I missed. And I'm heartbroken. Because it doesn't matter in the long term. But to me, that's hard. I don't know, I'm not happy with that. It makes me sad.
What were you doing at the time that you normally jump on?
Well, it's one of those things, I normally do it every morning. Like, my day starts, I go, and then I go off on my day. But because yesterday morning, I got up early, because we had to get into Melbourne to work the wrestling show. So because I was working the wrestling show, I just didn't log in the morning, and I forgot to do my dailies. Because I was, rather than play wrestles, I was off going to do wrestles, so... But as MGB in the chat says, the new DLC is live in the coming days, which is exciting. Mute says in the chat, but you break the addiction unless you're going to start over. And that's fine. Like, all it didn't get me, I just missed out on some random token points or something. So it's not like I missed out on any cards or anything cool. It's just a thing. So outside of that, let me do a quick check of my app, as I always do, in case there's anything that jumps out at me. Let me have a squiz. Absolutely not. All the same garbage. All right, well, let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, Max, it has been an interesting week. So, even though this is a PlayStation show, how about we start this week off with the big one, which is what the other guys are doing?
Fair enough. Do you want to start with the layoffs or the other thing?
Go the layoffs first, and then that ties into this other one. Layoffs all right, first.
All right, so Microsoft is making some major changes to Bethesda and its development teams, resulting in job losses and the closure of multiple studios. As reported by IGN, head of Xbox Game Studios, Matt Booty, sent a company-wide email detailing the restructuring plan. In it, it's confirmed that Arkane Austin, Tango Gameworks, and Alpha Dog Games will be shuttered. Meanwhile, Roundhouse Studios will be folded back into ZeniMax Online Studios. Arkane Austin is the studio behind Redfall, but is also known for making Prey. Tango Gameworks is the studio founded by Shinji Mikami, who left last year, and is behind the Evil Within series, Ghostwire Tokyo, and most recently, Hi-Fi Rush, a former Xbox exclusive that recently came to PlayStation 5. Alpha Dog Games is a mobile game developer, most recently known for Mighty Doom. It's not known how many people are affected by these changes, but it is a cutthroat approach from Microsoft as it looks to clean up operations under Bethesda. Quote, we are making these tough decisions to create capacity to increase investment in other parts of our portfolio and focus on our priority games, Booty says. As we align our plans and resources to best set ourselves up for success in this complex and changing industry, our teams across Arkane Leon, Bethesda Game Studios, ID Software, Machine Games, ZeniMax Online Studios, and the Bethesda Publishing and Corporate teams will be well positioned to build new IP, explore new game concepts, and expand on our existing franchises, he signs off. They also mentioned in an interview that they wanted smaller games that were doing better and receiving more accolades, like Hi-Fi Rush, which mysteriously disappeared after their studio closed down. I think it was yesterday or the day before, Sarah Bond was interviewed by someone, and
from Bloomberg. It was
and they straight up got asked the question. They're like, "The hell? Why? You know, you wanted these award-winning smaller games. Here's Tango doing exactly that with Hi-Fi Rush," and then she gave some bullshit answer about the art form and get games as an art and blah blah blah, and really an ultimate nothing answer that served no purpose whatsoever. So
yeah,
very disappointing.
Do you want to touch on all this first? Because you know me, I normally get pretty chatty.
Look, I think it's just one of those things where they've bitten off more than they can chew, and they've spent these billions upon billions of dollars on the Activision Blizzard merger, and they now need to justify their original purchase of ZeniMax, and by essentially shuttering these studios and making less people employed in that sector. That sector has gone from a negative to a positive, and it's just one of those really shitty business decisions of they're trying to drop their bottom line a bit lower to make it look like it's performing better than it actually is by not having to pay X amount of wages. Yes. You know, someone brought up the thing of if similar to what Nintendo did a few years ago when they were struggling, instead of their CEO and their upper level management getting all their bonuses, they're like, you know what, we can forego our bonus for a year and then everyone can keep their jobs.
Yeah, so that would be awesome. Wouldn't that just be like the best solution to all of this?
Because I saw a clip from David Jaffe this week. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I do like Jaffe though. He's fun.
And he's like, I haven't made a game since like early 2010s. I still have money from that game. There's no reason why these people couldn't forego their bonuses for a single year and not feel the sting.
Yep.
That'd be fine. He's like, I did it. Why can't they do it? Keep people in their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's stretch this out. So, and I guess it's the name of the episode as well. And we'll touch upon this too, is why Xbox shutting studios isn't a win for PlayStation. And that's something that we've been seeing, you know, on the back of the Helldivers bullshit and everything, and the console war nature of just everything is the internet. This isn't a win. This isn't a win for anyone. It's not a win for the individuals that lost their jobs. It's not an individual for this whole studio. It's not a win for games. The message that the closure of both Tango and Arkane demonstrate is that even if you have a game that is successful, even if you have a game that is critically acclaimed, even if you have a game that is, by all metrics, a pretty fucking good game, it doesn't matter. It demonstrates where you stand as a creator, as a creative, within this larger industry. And it's not good news, right? So Hi-Fi Rush is the first game to have any pretty much exclusively positive feedback and reviews. It is the one of the first game in about a decade-ish to be nominated for Game of the Year awards from any Xbox-owned studio. Additionally, it won a BAFTA like a month ago, and it's closing. It's closed, I should say. It's closed. What this has shown, something that we have said numerous times, is, and I'm using like crass words intentionally, Xbox are full of shit. What we're seeing, what they have done here, the actions that they have taken, are in direct opposition to what they have said recently. It's in direct opposition to what Matt Booty just said. I understand that Redfall was kind of in the works before the ZeniMax acquisition happened. Same goes for Hi-Fi Rush. What this tells me is that upon the purchase of these studios and the collective of ZeniMax, they had a plan. And that plan was, we're going to probably cut these studios off. Or the lowest, like, regardless of the outcome, we need to cut X amount of studios, right? And then when Redfall didn't succeed, based solely, I believe, on complete studio fuckery, because we have seen what Arkane can do with the likes of the Evil Within, with the likes of Prey, really, really damn good games. Then they release Redfall, which is this bastardized games as a service. You know, and there's Dishonored elements within these games, but, you know, this is a studio that does not make multiplayer games. You made them do that, and then you shit on them for fucking, like, for doing what you asked of them? Are you kidding me? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thank you for the correction, MGB. Tango did Evil Within. Sorry, I'm thinking of Dishonored. My apologies. So, Dishonored and Redfall and Prey, right? There we go. Thank you for the correction. It baffles me. Absolutely baffles me. What this also shows, Max, and it's something we also discussed on, is that this demonstrates that Game Pass is not a financially viable business model. Because, as you mentioned, the decisions that they are making around closing these studios is purely to have it look like profits are going up. And it's not. It hasn't been. What we've seen in the FTC hearing, the leaks, the information, they haven't. Subscriber numbers are stagnant. Hasn't changed. Yet the expectation is that we keep growing. And Xbox made the dumb decision. Division made the dumb decision of buying for buying's sake. They bought all these studios. They bought all these individuals. They bought ZeniMax. They bought ABK.
The other thing is, the studios that just got closed are also the studios that just released a game, which means they're not going to be doing anything for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
Like, they won't have anything to release, so they're not going to close down the studios that are about a year off releasing their title. They're going to close down the studios that have just released their thing, and then that's it, they're done.
Yep.
Which is, you know, it's a shame, but...
It's... What was my train of thought? What was I talking about?
I don't know,
so I was bitching about something. these purchases, right? They made all these purchases, and they made the dumb decision... By doing so, Xbox, as part of Microsoft as a larger company, are minuscule. Nothing. The amount of money that they were losing, not relevant. But the second they got involved in that ABK deal, suddenly Microsoft, as a bigger company, has to look to them and go, well, you need to do something here. You need to make some changes. You need to make this money come back. And on top of that, the consumers out there, the ones that were originally excited by this acquisition, being like, oh man, this is going to be amazing. This means that we're going to get this game back. And maybe this franchise will come back and this, that, the other. I mean, how is that going for you? Truly. What have they done since these purchases that should give you any faith in their ability to do their fucking job? I don't believe that it is solely at the issue or at the hands of someone like Phil Spencer or Matt Booty or whatever her fucking name was in the interview. But they are the figureheads. They have chosen to be the faces, especially Phil Spencer. So they're going to get targeted with that shit. And it's also kind of exactly what they're there to do. Their jobs are to shepherd these studios into delivering profitable experiences. Do I think that we're going to get some sort of gaming crash? I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to see the industry that I love die. But this rampant graph must go up and to the right at all costs. It's not about making some of the money. It's about making all of the money. This practice is fucked. I assure you, this is not the last studio that Microsoft will close. Because the fact that if they did not buy ABK, Xbox would not be anywhere in the black. Like, they would literally be no profitable. We've been swinging it for years. The long-term damage that a system like Game Pass can deliver is coming to fruition. And it's worrying. They have tried... And we'll go into this next part, Max, where we'll mention and we'll go into this. So, new reports have suggested that... let me just take a note here. Hang on, let's see. 41. Yeah, beautiful. So, new reports suggest that long-time employees and even some of the brand's founders agree that things have shifted dramatically... So dramatically at Xbox since the bad old days that effectively, quote, it's no longer Xbox, but Microsoft Gaming, end quote. That's according to a report from IGN's Ryan McCaffrey, who penned a piece on Microsoft's recent mishaps. McCaffrey spoke to two former longtime Xbox employees on the condition of anonymity, who separately lamented the current state of the business. Before news of this week's closures broke, the first alleged that, quote, I had lengthy conversation with a bunch of Xbox founders, and we all came to the same conclusion. It's no longer Xbox, but Microsoft Gaming, end quote. The second described a situation not unlike an anaconda attempting to ingest an elephant, alleging that Xbox got too big too fast. Quote, there is just too much surface area. You have effectively three huge companies at play, and Microsoft never really finished the integration with Bethesda. And Activision is like three times the size Xbox was. The 360 launched with a few hundred people. Last I heard, Xbox now has almost 30,000 employees, end quote. The second Xbox veteran points to meddling coming from higher up the Microsoft Corporation food chain, explaining why decisions made by current executives seem so wildly inconsistent. These decisions probably weren't being made by Phil. These are all getting dictated by Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella and Microsoft CFO Amy Hood, and it all stems from the Activision acquisition. There it is right there. And to back to my original point, and I would like to hear what your thoughts on this are, Max, in that these closures, these actions that Microsoft are having to take aren't wins for PlayStation. These are signs of what the future will be in terms of studio closures. And the idea that Xbox as a brand is going makes complete sense because they fucking killed it. They never really recovered from the Red Ring of Death. They have certainly not recovered from the Xbox One's original launch at E3, and they have not recovered since. They had some wins with Game Pass as a service, but were so short-sighted in what the service would do that they failed to see the long-term impact. They have conditioned Xbox players to not buy games, and that is how a company runs when people buy shit, right? Mm. So when they're not buying shit, you're not making money. You can't support these 30,000 employees, these 20 plus studios, minimum. It's not possible. So my concern here is, and we discussed this before, what Xbox chose to do was change the play by entering in a marketplace where they have the money that they could just blow off and no one would care, lowered the value proposition of games as a in general, in the same way that phone games obliterated the cost. Like, by having free phone games, no one will ever pay for a game on phones ever. Because them as a customer base have been trained not to pay for games on their phone, even if it's an incredible quality game, they won't do it.
Yeah,
same thing here.
Yeah, which is really sad, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense that the higher ups at Microsoft themselves are pushing to be like, you need to justify this $74 billion purchase. We need to see something coming back from that. And it sucks that it's at the cost of these people who have, like I said before, just released their games and therefore not going to be making any revenue for the next X amount of years until they release their next game. So they're like, well, they've made as much as they're going to make. I wonder if it would be interesting to see.
But that's also not true. Like, Hi-Fi Rush have since recently launched on PS5, and people have been paying for it, and it's been doing exceptionally well. Same goes for Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, Grounded. All these games are doing exceptionally well on the other. But it's insane that they will now have to rely on the performance of their competitor for them to dictate success on their titles.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying?
Oh no, that's pretty much it. It'll be interesting to see what they do from here, and it'll be interesting to see what the next studio is to release a title and how long that studio survives after release.
The next studio to release a game is the team Ninja Theory with Senua's whatever saga Hellblade 2 coming out on the 22nd. The fact that I forgot that game was coming out is not a good thing. And then, you know, because I really enjoyed the first one, would love to play this one. But that is a studio that has got a handful of games in recent years under its belt. And it's predominantly these. It's not good. Same goes for Double Fine. They released Psychonauts 2 a couple years ago. What does their future look like? Yes, they have legacy. But what does that legacy mean? What is the value of that legacy when a studio like Arkane, which has a positive legacy, got killed? So there's a particular quote that you mentioned, Max, that got me chuckled. And I think, I'd like you sort of, you know, it resonated with you. Can you touch upon that?
Yeah, so I read an article earlier from Metro UK, and I've lost it because it's in a different show. And the author who wrote the article wrote, "When trying to work out what Xbox is trying to achieve, I'm reminded of the quote from Game of Thrones, where Varys talks about Littlefinger by saying he would see this country burn if he could be king of the ashes. In the song of Xbox and PlayStation, Phil Spencer takes the role of Littlefinger, except Phil Spencer, like the rest of his executive cronies, is an idiot."
I feel like I'm talking in circles because the answer is it's fucking stupid, and this has massive, massive damaging effects wider than Xbox, and it makes the future concerning. Especially, you know, we've got on the back of we have a Xbox showcase announced for, is it later this month or early next month?
June, I think.
Yeah, around E3, early June, mid June. So they announced they're doing this big thing. That's not cool. How are they going to come out on stage and go, man, how good are games? What a time to make games. They're going to be booed out of the fucking building.
Until they show off that new Call of Duty and everyone's like, ooh, Call of Duty. And everyone will forget what they've done.
Yeah, that's probably true, eh? But speaking of showcases, though, apparently there's been the rumblings, rumors, and it's somehow involved this Drake... what's his face feud out of nowhere.
Apparently they took a break to so apparently Sony will hold a major PlayStation briefing this month, according to Giant Bomb tipster Jeff Grubb being reliable in the past but has been beating the showcase drum for what feels like a couple of months now. has doubled down on this rumor during a podcast earlier this week, stressing the show is still very much on track for, quote, this month, apparently. He added, quote, whether it's next week or the week after, I honestly don't know. It could be the end of the month. But I won't be surprised if this does actually happen next week. It could happen at any moment, end quote. PlayStation does run a tight ship. Leaks coming out of the company are very rare, but we know from past experience that Sony usually hosts some kind of major live stream during the summer. Last year, it hosted theirs right in front of the Summer Games Fest Chaos and dropped it in May. So if Grubb is accurate, it looks to revisit the strategy again this year. With titles like Rise of the Ronin and Stellblade already released, the upcoming list of PS5 exclusives is looking mighty thin. Sony will want to take this opportunity to provide updates on in-development projects like Marvel's Wolverine, while also announcing some new titles as well. Remembering the PS5 Pro is also strongly rumored to release later this year, so it might want to share the first details on that during the hypothetical broadcast as well. There's also been rumors that there will be a Lego Horizons game, which is also set to be apparently announced at this showcase in the next week or two.
Interesting. All right, so you go first, Max. What do you think will be at this showcase?
I don't know. They have been quiet for so long. Who fucking knows what they've got up their sleeve?
I have some ideas.
All right, lay them on me.
All right, so well, if we look at all the studios that are within the PlayStation family, many of them have just released or whichever. There are some that can sneak through. Obviously, Sucker Punch are insane. Insomniac are insane. It's very possible that Insomniac will have something ready to go. Now, I remember originally it was the rumor mill that Wolverine was coming out this year. We know there's a Venom in the works, but I imagine that would be after or whichever one they can sneak forward. So that's possible if you want to look at what Insomniac are doing. Ghost of Tsushima 2 is very, very likely, especially with the PC release of the first in the next week. And they're the one that's probably had the longest amount of time, really-ish. The other would be Sony Bend. However, knowing that, you know, they were trying to work Days Gone 2 and it couldn't happen, so they've kind of had to sort of scrap an idea and build on something new. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, excuse me. Are we going to see Last of Us 2 remastered?
We might get Last of Us 2 remastered, which would be cool. That's the thing. Is Naughty Dog going to do something? Are they going to announce Uncharted something? Whatever. Last of Us Part 3? Who knows? Very unlikely we'll see them, but it'd be pretty amazing if we did. I imagine it's very likely we'll see Haven come back with fair games and hopefully some gameplay after the CG trailer that we saw at the last showcase. Same goes for Concord with Fire Sprite. I imagine we'll see that. Because outside of those things, we don't really know what's going on. Like Sony Santa Monica, they're hiring at the moment, as we saw in recent months, but we're not going to hear what they're doing, especially off the back of Ragnarok being a year ago, not even.
Well, wasn't Barlog leading a new team working on a new IP?
Allegedly, that was the case, yes.
Yeah, it's one of those things that no one kind of knows what anyone's doing at the moment.
Yeah. And once again, with PlayStation choosing to be as quiet as they are, it's good and bad. It's good because then things can surprise us, but it also means we really have no idea. So they could delay something or we don't even know because we didn't hear the original date. But outside of that, from a first-party perspective, I don't know what to get excited for. Like, it's possible we hear some things we don't know about. That would be cool. Like, Housemarque have been pretty quiet for a long time. Bluepoint have been quiet since the PS5 launch with Demon's Souls.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, there's a couple of things. Obviously, Studio London don't exist anymore, so we won't see what they're doing. But it's tough. Will it be the PS5 Pro? No. No chance. There is no chance that they would be announcing the PS5 Pro in June and then wanting to release it around November. You're not going to do it because all that does ensures that people don't buy a PS5 between now and November. And I'm sorry, they're not Microsoft. They need to sell consoles. Also, Microsoft need to sell consoles too, but they aren't. So, sucks to be them. Media Molecule, MGB in the chat says, Media Molecule has been way too quiet since Dreams. Yeah, because Dreams fucking failed. So, they have to essentially rebuild their entire plan as a studio.
it'll be interesting to see what Blue Point do next, because you're right, they haven't done anything since, they haven't released anything themselves since 2020 with Demon Souls, but they did work on God of War Ragnarok in 22.
But that's because they're a support studio in the same way that Nixxis is.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm just saying that whatever they were doing, depending on how much support was lent, that would have got put on hold.
Yeah.
While they were doing Ragnarok stuff.
Because the rumor mill for the longest time was that they were doing their own IP. Or their own game, rather than a remake. But then there was also the rumblings that I think they were doing a Metal Gear, and they got given a... Like Bloodborne was on the rumbles at one point as well. But, you know, everyone's just got boned up for Bloodborne. So any idea of that potentially happening is a huge one. But, you know, even from a second-party standpoint, like... What's Square doing? What's Capcom doing? Like, it's possible that we might hear Resident Evil 9 or 5 remake, potentially, but 9's probably more likely. Because I remember, like, obviously we see, you know, the showcases have been really good at showing Resident Evil, and then it's coming out the year after. So that's possible. But I feel like there's not enough information readily accessible to actively put together a speculation. Like in the chat, we've got Bandai, 2K, Rockstar, EA. Rockstar, no chance. We ain't hearing shit. And plus, even if they did, they would do their own thing. They wouldn't piggyback. They don't need to. They're bigger than an individual brand showcase. EA, they're console agnostic these days, so they'll just rock up wherever, really. But, MGB also adds, maybe since it's their 30th this year, maybe Ratchet and Clank and Resistance remasters. No chance. This is the thing. If you go and look at the sales numbers of Ratchet and Clank, no, absolutely not. Everyone talks about the fond memories of these Ratchet and Clank games, but no one fucking bought them.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to insert. Even Rift Apart, no one really bought it.
Banger of a game, though.
Banger of a game, but no one bought it. So I was watching this interesting video the other day where they're talking about manufactured nostalgia around video games, where like how everyone talked about how much they adored Dead Space. Like the collective conversation was like, how good is Dead Space? It's so glad it's getting a remake, but then no one really bought it. So like, is this manufactured nostalgia? Are you like, oh man, I love that game. It's coming back. Yeah, I'm not going to buy that. You know what I mean? It's like the money where your mouth is not matching. Everyone talks about how fondly the experience they've had of these titles when they're growing up or whatever, but then failing to deliver on the part that's actually important.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, so the same goes for Resistance. Everyone loves Resistance, apparently, but it the reason they stopped is because it didn't sell. So, to that. Moving on. No Man Left Behind, Max.
Left Behind.
Is it my turn or is it your turn?
It is your turn.
Beautiful. Well, let's get into this. So in a bombshell development, it looks like the developer Arrowhead may have a revolution on its hands. As outraged Helldivers 2 players who defended the developer in the last week, they demand justice and official canonization into in-game lore for the undemocratically dismissed community manager, now dubbed General Spitz. As is the fashion these days, a change.org petition has sprung up overnight, which at the time of writing approaches 4,500 signatures. It aims to force Arrowhead to reconsider the dismissal of a community manager known as Spitz, who has been a fixture within the community since launch. During the darkest hours of the Force PC/PSN account linking debacle earlier this week, Spitz, perhaps feeling the call of destiny, directed the community on Discord, captured on Twitter, to, quote, make their displeasure known through reviews, refunds, etc. It gives us more pull in this discussion with Sony. They don't read our Discord, end quote. Well, that's probably why they got fucking fired. Once the dust settled, the next day, Spitz told the community that this act had, quote, almost not quite, end quote, gotten them fired. Not much later, one final transmission was confirmed, as Spitz revealed that they had been let go, stoically stating, quote, every war comes with casualties, end quote. You fucking idiot. According to the petition, on the 5th of July, 2024, or at about 11:45 PST, the Helldivers Discord discovered the community manager Spitz had been relieved of his position and all traces of his previously held posts deleted or otherwise removed from the Discord, end quote. This incident appears to have been the inciting spark to revolution, as not only do Helldivers want Spitz reinstated immediately, but they also demand that he be immortalized in-game for his self-sacrifice. Quote, we additionally request the official canonization of General Spitz in Helldivers lore, for freedom, for democracy, for the good of the game and its dedicated community alike. General Spitz left us with some words to meditate on in the meantime. Quote, I know I was taking a risk with what I said about refunding and changing reviews. I stand by it. It was my job to represent the community, and that's what I did. Hey, you're a fucking idiot. You're an idiot. Like, it is one of those things. Like, you're surprised. And to go off the back of what happened last week, right? PlayStation, you know, rescinding on their original PSN plans against the game. The entire game's idea is to bring people together to fight the bigger power. Like, the wrong community to fight against. But
did you see they've already announced that PSN linking is required for Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, good.
To play online, good. But not for offline play.
Yes, but you still have to have it to be able to log in. Which is kind of insane, because anyone that may have played Redfall over the last week, there's a Bethesda Net account you need to have. Ooh, but that's not a problem, because it's not PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like, back to this dude, right? You're an idiot. Like, he should not be immortalized, because he's an idiot. He done fucked up. He got fired. Like, I doubt the decision was made through Arrowhead. I imagine this was PlayStation. They're like, fuck that guy. He's out. You don't do that. And I understand that in the world that we live in now, there's only so many ways you can vent your frustration towards a company. And review bombing, as much as I damn well hate it, is kind of the only way. But there has to be other means, and this individual, they're fighting this fight right now because they won the other one, and now they feel entitled enough that they can make this happen. Once again, the previous fight, two parts, having to link your PSN, shut the fuck up, just do it. The second one, restricting its access in a bunch of countries, that's dumb. That's fucked up. This thing about this community manager making their own grave and getting fired because of it is not in the same space. So they're under the assumption that because we made them do this, we can make them do this, which is the exact thing you don't want to do to a customer base. You don't want to demonstrate that they have the alleged power to make such a drastic change like this. Now, Max, you were pretty heated about this Helldivers shit last week. Where are you at with this? Are you in the same level of fight?
Yeah, I actually think I am. I think that his job as a member of Arrowhead, not PlayStation, was to see the best outcome for his game. And like you said, they really don't look at anything but metrics, and the best way to do it was to refund your game, show your displeasure, get shit done. And they did it. If Arrowhead...
Oh, also, fun fact, turns out the play numbers on Steam did not change. So all people were like, boycott this game, review bomb it. They kept playing it.
Yeah, of course. But that's not
what are you fighting then?
Well, that's not
this game was. Sucks, and I hate what they're doing. So I'm gonna keep playing it.
It was, to be fair, it was never about the game sucking. It was the fact that as of
if they're gonna have a stance, have a legit fucking stance and do something about, and like legitimately make a stand. If they review bomb the game and then play accounts go from, let's just pull numbers out of my bum, if play account goes from 500,000 people to 10,000 people, that is how you present something. Once again, if you got people that look solely at metrics, if those metrics show that people are complaining, but they're still playing the fucking game, they don't have to do shit. Sorry. Like, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get it. To me, it just absolutely reads like false anger. Like, just don't. Sorry to blast you a little bit there, Max.
I just, like I said, it's his job was to do exactly what he did, and for him to be fired for doing his job, if it's from Arrowhead that did the firing, sure, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was PlayStation going, he needs to be gone, they should have nothing to do with that. It's
Not their studio,
not their worker, not their anything. They have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's a presumption on my part. My job, my day job, I am a community manager. That is literally my job. If I was to do this, I too would get fired. Because you're the representative of the community to the business. Not on behalf of the business, to the business. So if I was to promote the individuals that I work for and their customers to review bomb, of course I'm getting fucking fired. I'm a liaison. I'm not the beacon of change. I'm a glorified receptionist between customers and a company, as is Spitz.
I guess the other thing is that Arrowhead were like, we're not liking this change either. It's not, it has nothing to do with us. So he kind of, you know, he did take it upon himself to fight for both, you know, them and the community. It's one of those things of, you know, they didn't want this to happen. As a result of his actions, it didn't happen. And then they've kind
My issue with there is like, it kind of delivered us solely because of he did what he did, the battle was won. No.
Look, whether or not that would have happened if he didn't say that, what happens, no one knows, because that's not the case. It didn't
Absolutely
happen.
True. Yeah,
he did, and we can't say otherwise. Like, we have to go on, you know, if we look at going from what happened and how it happened, this is what happened. And yeah, it's one of those things of, you know, Arrow, from what we saw and from what they said, Arrowhead didn't want this to begin with. They didn't want the linking. This has happened. He's incited the community, made things happen to ultimately get what they wanted out of it, and now they've gone, hey, look, you've not served us in the capacity that you were supposed to. See you later. But he did exactly what they wanted from him.
Yeah, and look, to his credit,
not in the way that they wanted.
If he.
But it's also not him going, I want my job back, this is bullshit. This is the community going, yeah, hey, he did the right thing. You got what you wanted from him. It's a bit of a dick move.
No. He did what he thought was the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. He thought what he thought was the right thing. There's a very big difference there. And that's fine. Because, you know, if he believes what he's done is the right thing, hell yeah. Shout out to him. What a ledge. In his own beliefs. But if it were me, and I were fired because of this, no matter what anyone said, I wouldn't go back. If I'm that disposable, why would I go back? Because every time that they go in a meeting, every time Spitz goes into work, he will forever be watched. Everything he will do, like getting his job back, is not the answer.
Yeah, for him,
again, it just makes his life fucking hard.
Again, we don't know what he wants. This is just the community going, hey, this is bullshit. This is, in their mind, he single-handedly won the war, and they want him back. It has nothing to do with him.
If you think about, if you had to go to HR for work,
he's the guy who jumped on the grenade so no one else died. That's the analogy that they've put him in. Like, he's the one who dove on the grenade.
He's not a martyr, but I understand what they're trying to say. I don't believe he is.
But that's what they're turning him into. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Like, to go with my point, have you ever had to go to HR for work?
No.
Okay. Well, like, I've known people that have. And the instant that you do, even though HR is there to be whatever, the instant that you do, everyone just goes and looks directly at you. and then you become this major target, and it's just the nature of fucking shitty business, and I hate it. But so if, imagine if you've got fired and then you come back and you go, hey, you just like hawk. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. But we'd love to hear what you guys think. Clearly, I'm on a different side. I don't think this guy's a martyr. I don't think he's this brave individual. But, you know, I in that same breath, I do applaud him for sticking up for what he believes is the right thing to do. And I get it. But you need to pick your time and place. And, you know, even the company that I work, even company that I work for, companies that I've worked for, I don't. There are things that they have done or choices that they have made, and I was not happy with that decision and I felt it was the wrong call. However, my job is not to, you know, you are the community, you are the representative to the community of the company. So you are not a individual, you are not this independent being, you are an employee of the company. It's not very exciting, but it's totally how it is. But
I'm going to move this next story to quick bits because it's really not that. Really doesn't need to be that long.
Cool, and we are going pretty long because I got nice and ranty. So let's just get straight into them quick bits now.
All right, so quick bits. God of War Ragnarok is rumored to be amongst the next batch of first party titles Sony plans to port to the PC. Activision reportedly rejected Vicarious Visions' Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 pitch. Wankers.
I like that you actually wrote that in the doc, by the way. That popped me really hard. And look, just to expand on that, like I quite liked 3. 4 I enjoyed, mostly because it opened with AC/DC's TNT.
I'd like Underground 1 and 2 back.
Yeah, Thug. Give me some Thug action. Oh, yeah.
Helldivers 2 has been hit with 200,000 positive reviews after the PSN backtrack.
Okay, see, to go inside, back to the thing, and like what I think is actually legit good protest is the fact that they put the cape in that is the ratio, like the line, the blue, positive, the red of negative, and that is fucking exceptional protest. I love it. It's not in the game yet, according to Reverend Park, but I love it. That is an awesome idea. Like, that is how you stick it to them, and that is how you leave that strong legacy of what you did. That is dope.
Capcom has hit record high profits for the 7th year in a row. Dragon's Dogma now considered a key brand following its substantial sales this year.
Sick. You picked it up, didn't you?
So good.
Did you finish it, or did you just stop?
Oh, no, I've finished it.
I can't remember.
Warner Brothers' revenue plummets as Suicide Squad fails miserably.
Ooh.
After having the best-selling game of the year last year with Hogwarts Legacy to having probably one of the worst-selling games of the year in
Suicide Squad. Kill the Justice League. Suicide Squad kills your parent company.
Yep, and as I alluded to earlier in the show, vengeful Fallout 76 players keep nuking Phil Spencer's camp.
Oh, it's I've seen it be done twice now, and it's awesome. The part that makes me chuckle the most is that apparently you can sort of see what they've been up to, as in what Phil's been up to, and apparently he's been doing the missions to get himself some nuke codes. So, like, is he fighting back? Is he going to start blowing up people's fucking houses? Like, is he battling Petty with Petty? Like, let's go. I do find that pretty, pretty funny. But it's a lot of work to get a nuke in that game. So that's good dedication to the bit. All right, let's get in the section where we talk about the upcoming games of the week, and here they are. On the 13th of May, you will get Athenian Rhapsody, PS5, PS4, Fabledom, PS5, The Land Beneath Us, PS5. On the 14th of May, you get Neptunia Game Maker Revolution, PS5, PS4, and Slayers X, PS5, PS4, bless you. On the 15th of May, you get Electronics Puzzle Lab, PS5, PS4, Please Fix the Road, PS5, PS4. P.O.W.D. Definitive Edition, PS5, PS4, and Read Only Memories, Neurodriver, PS5. A nothing week, it seems.
Yeah.
That's a shame. And yeah, someone fixed that road. I completely agree. I don't know why that road has been left to get so bad. But that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you, everyone, for joining us. We do apologize that this bit, at least for my part, I felt this episode's been very fucking spacey and not very good. At least coming from me. And that's my bad for not doing fucking medication before I have a show. But my it won't happen again. I'm too fucking yonked. But what are you trying to reach for, man? Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, tissues. Well, we better wrap this bad boy up so Max can go and die off camera. But yeah, no, big thank you to everyone for taking the time to check out the show, as we always do. Max, you good?
Oh, yeah, look, maybe.
All right, let's close it out.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/swapcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you buy shirts and other assorted shit without logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Man, I've just hit an absolute wall. I feel like I'm going to fucking fall asleep at this desk.
Dude. Work is going to be rough tonight. Luckily, for some reason, so I use an app to clock in and clock out, right?
Mm.
For whatever reason, my boss refuses to put my Monday overnight shift on.
Yeah.
So, like, I can rock up whenever and leave whenever.
Oh, sweet. Done, so. Just go get it done and scoot.
Might have a cheeky nap tonight.